Good morning, and welcome to this beautiful, sunny, windy day at the Lost Villages Park. I'd like to begin today's service by welcoming anybody who has any announcements for this morning who are not making announcements at the other church service that happened this morning. If there are no announcements, then let's get started with the service. We have gathered here in this beautiful place to worship God. He is just, full of compassion and love for all of His creation. We find God all around us, in the flora and the fauna that we live among, in the skies and in the seas. We come to serve God by giving food to the hungry and water to the thirsty, by welcoming the newcomer and comforting those in need. Let us seek God so that we may serve God. Let us worship God by going to our opening hymn, "We Praise You, O God," and all of the words to today's hymns are found in the inserts in your bulletins. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, You are the creator of all the universe. Every blade of grass, every branch and leaf, every flower and bush, all created by Your divine will. Every animal and creature of the deep, brought onto earth by Your hand. Every human being shaped in Your image, from all times and places. We praise You for all these gifts, for the gift of creation, the gift of Your love and compassion. We praise You for being with us when we are most vulnerable and cry out for Your justice, Your love, and Your peace. Your encouraging presence nourishes and guides us and stirs us to action in the face of injustice. So we turn to worship to You, O God, grateful for Your faithfulness to us, and to all cry out to You, proclaiming Your goodness in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. You have given the world and its inhabitants so much, yet there are those who have so little. Many of us enjoy safe homes, along with abundant food and clean water, yet others have no place to call home, and lack life's basic necessities. Forgive us for not spreading the blessing You have given us, for taking no thought for the needs of others. Forgive us for taking the resources of Your creation for granted and failing to preserve and protect what future generations will need. Open our minds and hearts to the cries of those in need. Restore and reconcile our relationships with creation and with You. And please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thine kingdom come, Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God loves us and forgives us. He prepares a place of new beginnings and hope for all. Accept this gift of forgiveness and abundant love, and live your life sharing this gift with others. Amen. Our next hymn is our children's hymn, Come Children, Join to Sing. I'd like to call up any children to come up to the, I guess if this is considered a front. I don't know what exactly you'd call it, but if any children are around, feel free to come on up. Hello, good windy morning, everyone. Oh, that was a terrible good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yay, that's much better. So, how are you all today?
Good.
Pretty good. And the weather's pretty good? Not many clouds in the sky, a little bit windy, but it's nice and cool, especially in the June summertime. You guys must be excited that school's almost over? Are you guys out of school? You still kind of in school a little bit? Last kind of week to finish everything up and prep everything up? So, just by a show of hands, how many of you have ever done the science experiment with the little bean in the plastic cup with the paper towels? Any of you have ever heard of that experiment? Aw, oh, you guys. Oh, I did this experiment when I was your age. We had a little bean. It was like a little, I don't know if it was a lima bean or a kidney bean, one of the beans. And we were instructed to basically wrap it in a sort of soaked paper towel in a plastic cup. And over, I guess, the course of a week or two, it would start to open up and sprout roots. And eventually, we would see a little green sprout coming out of the bean as it would use the paper towel's moisture as a way for it to grow. So instead of grabbing soil from outside, we use it as a paper towel. And it's really interesting how we take this little itty-bitty bean, put it in such a small little container, and watch it sprout and grow. And a lot of plants start out that way. You see all these trees up here. You see all this grass. It all started from tiny little seeds that are so tiny you can fit in the palm of the hand. And our faith is a lot like that, too. When we started as really young children, you know, infant babies, they don't know a lot about much of anything, especially of faith. And when we go to Sunday school and when we start asking questions about the world around us, our faith starts off from that little bean and starts sprouting. And it starts out small, but it grows and grows and grows, and as we nourish it and as we take care of it, that bean can sprout out more and more and more, and our faith, like little seeds, can turn into giant trees, some that bear fruit, some that don't. Our seeds can sometimes spread far and wide like grass here. Sometimes it can sprout into beautiful flowers. There's all sorts of different kinds of seeds of faith. And so today I'm going to be talking a little bit about that in my sermon. And so my challenge for you guys is to think of how you can help spread and grow your faith. Sometimes you can do it through gardening and through seeds, but there might be other ways that you can maybe think about spreading your faith more or growing it a bit more over the summer, so that when it comes time for school in September, you might be able to show or tell something interesting to the teacher or your classmates. Does that sound like a good idea? All right, let's have a short prayer, and then we can go and find Carolyn, who's just over there, and she has some activities for you. So let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for the amazing weather, for the amazing time that we get to spend together. Bless each and every one of us as we participate in today's service, as we have some fun in the sunshine, fun together, and be with us now and always. In your name we pray. Amen. So go on and have some fun. Let us come together once again in prayer. Let us pray. God of wisdom and hope, your word has brought guidance and healing throughout many generations. Send us your spirit now, that as we listen to today's readings, we may find wisdom and hope, guidance and healing through your living word, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite Amanda to read the scriptures at the White Puff microphone.
Testament, Isaiah 41, verses 8 to 20. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Yes, all who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who thrive against you shall be nothing and shall perish. But you shall seek those who contend with you, and you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you insect Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Now I will make you of a threshing sledge, sharp, new, and having teeth. You shall stress the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills shake. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them. Then you shall rejoice in the Lord. In the Holy One of Israel you shall glory. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the deserts the cypress, the plane, and the pine together, so that all may see and know, all may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hand I sing for joy. O great are your works, O Lord, your thoughts are very deep. The dullard cannot know, the stupid cannot understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass, and evildoers do flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For your enemies, O Lord, for your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured me over fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have seen the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. From the New Testament, Colossians 2, verses 6 to 10 and 16 to 23. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of the food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. They are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting of self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed out without cause by human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They are simply human commands and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed pity, humility, and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value in checking self-indulgence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
Thank you very much. Please join me in our hymn of the month, New Songs of Celebration Render.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts speak to your will, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So over the past month and a bit, I was tasked by taking care of my mother's potted plant in the house. It's a nice indoor palm tree, nice green branches all spread out, all really beautiful, and she gave me very strict instructions. You must water it once a week. 2 cups of warm, semi-cool water. It's very adamant, very specific. Make sure that the water's all spread. And I'm like, okay, I can handle that once a week. And I'm taking watering, I'm taking care of it, and as the time goes by, the leaves start turning a bit brown. And I'm a little concerned because I'm like, okay, maybe I'm overwatering it, so I'm going to reduce the water a bit. I'm going to really make sure the water's all spread out, not just in one corner. And it keeps getting browner and browner and browner. Now I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, she's going to freak out when she gets home because I'm the one that kills her plant. And especially with someone with the last name of Plant, you would figure that I would have some sort of at least semi-green thumb. I was very pleased to know that it was not my fault. The plant did not die on my watch. It was actually infested with spider mites, which I did not see coming. When my mother came home, she inspected the plant, and she pointed to me saying, look, there's little gnats on the leaf, so she had to throw out the whole plant. And I'm sitting there really thinking, my goodness, thank goodness for that I'm not a plant killer. Otherwise, I will not be able to decorate the inside of my future house with nice little potted plants, because I know I'd like to have some little herb plants in the house in the kitchen to grow some fresh herbs, or maybe a couple of flowers on like a nice little box windowsill, you know, something like that. But I'm very glad that it wasn't my fault, because that would have shattered my dreams. And there are so many countless plants, as you can see, we're surrounded by trees and grass, and there's so many natural wonders in this country. I mean, if you go across from British Columbia over to Newfoundland, there are so many different wonders that we can all see. We have the Rocky Mountains. We have the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence River, which is somewhere over yonder, which we can't exactly see, but we know is there. We have the beautiful Niagara Falls. We have the beautiful Maritimes, and this country is just full of absolute beautiful wonders. Waterfalls, forests, fields of food, jungles and glaciers and deserts and lakes. God made such a perfect planet. It's not too cold like in Mars, it's not too hot like in Venus, but it's right in the middle. And we are so blessed in this huge country of ours to have so many resources, accounting for a large portion of the world's fresh water, boasting huge acres of forests that we have such great access to. And in Genesis, it's sort of the perfect encapsulation of how the world came together. God spoke to the nothing and created light, formed the earth, formed the plants and the animals that live among us. Genesis 1:28-30 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. In humanity's case, God gave us a special task, continuing on, saying to rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. In certain translations in the Bible, they use the word rule over, subdue, or dominion. Dominion is an interesting term. It's defined as sovereignty or control over something. Now, we live in a country that is founded as the Dominion of Canada. Now, when we go over to international relations or the United Nations, it won't say Dominion of Canada. But on a technicality, we are still known as a dominion, even if the term has fallen out of favored use. Instead, we like to use realm when referring to Her Majesty the Queen. We are part of her realms and her territories. But what does it mean to have dominion over something? Well, it means to rule over, to control, and to watch over. But does it mean to use and abuse something to further ourselves, or to let it grow and prosper with limitless potential? I'd like to argue it's a mix of both, with certain parts, and I'll explain. God gave us creation. God did not say to the bears, take dominion over my creation. He did not say to the apple tree, take over and care for our plants and animals. He designated that to us, to humanity. To leave creation untouched, to let it just grow wild and let it do whatever it wants, is not taking care of it. It's letting it just grow whatever it wants to do. But to constantly just cut everything down and take everything for ourselves would also be irresponsible, because then there wouldn't be any creation left to watch over. Imagine if you were gifted an apple tree that produced delicious Granny Smith apples. I know that I personally love apple pie, and Granny Smith apples are one of the perfect apples to use in pies. What would you do with that gift? Would you leave it untouched in your backyard? Don't pick any of the apples. Don't prune any of the branches. Just let it sit there and let nature take its course. I imagine the gift bearer would be a little saddened to say that, you know, you're not using the tree. I gave you this tree that produces perfectly good apples and you're not using it. To uproot the tree and turn it into firewood would even be a bigger insult. You're taking a perfectly good apple tree and using it to heat your house for a couple hours. It's a little short-sighted. But rather to cultivate that tree, to harvest the apples from that tree as food, and to allow it to keep growing for future generations to enjoy, would be the most responsible and the most dignified way to treat that gift. And you can do that with any gift. If someone gives us a book, for example, we don't use it as a doorstop or a coaster for our tasty mug of beverage. We read it. Now, of course, there are examples if people give a mismatched gift. Say you give a car enthusiast a gardening magazine. It doesn't necessarily go hand in hand. So the always polite thing to say is, not really into gardening, but thank you for the gift anyway. It was a kind thought. And so next time the gift giver may think, oh, I'll give them a car magazine instead. But God's gift of the earth is the same. We're called to treat that gift with respect. To clear-cut entire forests and excessively produce materialistic goods is irresponsible. But to let forests overgrow and to let minerals overtake the ground would also be irresponsible. God designated us as the rulers of this planet. Not to rule as in to conquer and to selfishly use, but to rule with a kind and loving heart. To make sure that we have this beautiful green space that we call home, that can exist not just for a couple hundred years or a couple thousand years, but as far forward as we can make it. A good ruler maintains balance, taking from the earth to sustain our needs. God gave us the trees not to look at, but to take fruit and to eat. And that's the same thing with all elements of this creation. God did not create the Great Lakes just to sit there and hydrate the surrounding soil. He left it there for us to have fresh drinking water. God did not leave the minerals in the ground just to be sparkly for the unknowing spider, but instead to be used as tools, unfortunately as weapons as well. The human need for conquest and weaponry and war is long-lasting. But the minerals are there to create pots and pans, to create culinary tools of all kinds, to create jewelry, to allow expressions of artistry. These things that God has given us is such an amazing and wonderful gift. But we have to remember that our gifts need to be used properly, not to be abused like cutting down an apple tree for firewood, and not to be ignored to let it overgrow on other things, but to responsibly take what we need and to allow more to grow so that when we all return to the earth, when our time comes, that our children and grandchildren are able to say, hey, look at all this wonderful stuff. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing that apple tree. Let's keep our freshwater lakes clean. And our faith in Christ must be the same way. It's not just a simple one-sided affair where we just give praise or we just show kindness. It's a mix of everything. Jesus often healed those who went to him. Anyone that came to him in faith, who knew that Jesus could heal them, he would heal them. But at the same time, Jesus took time for himself. The power of prayer in the name of Jesus is an amazing thing. When given to others, we fulfill our calling. But to take it for ourselves is also our calling. To not just give to others, but to also give to ourselves. Jesus didn't spend his years of ministry going around and healing every single person that existed. He spent time alone in prayer. He spent time alone with his disciples teaching them. And this is the sort of thing that we need to get into the mindset of. Not just taking and taking. Not just giving and giving. But seeking that balance. Faith cannot be allowed to become abused or become wild. It must strive to seek that balance between heaven and earth. Following Jesus' teachings by going out into the world, proclaiming the good news through our actions and faith, and taking time like today to reflect upon God's word. Loving our neighbor, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, visiting the imprisoned, and showing hospitalities to the newcomers. We are called to do all of this. Sometimes through small ways, like a simple hello and a smile. Some through larger ways by hosting a refugee family, and anything in between. But we must also take time for personal faith. Prayer in solitude with God the Father. Praying in secret. And acting in good faith in secret. One cannot do one properly without the other. From our reading today from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted up and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than Christ. Christ teaches us to love one another, to nurture and grow each of our faiths together by our actions and by our prayers. And so how do we bear witness to God's green thumb? Because clearly God has a perfect talent for creation, not just in the plants and the animals, but in creating us as well. We take care of the earth, taking what we need, and giving back to sustain for future generations to enjoy. Developing green technologies, like solar and wind power, as just little examples. Some of us have gifts of gardening, others of woodworking or social necessities, such as finance or construction or social working. Utilizing our gifts responsibly, generating what we need to sustain our businesses or our livelihoods, but also giving back our blessings to others. Living in Christ means to be rooted and built up in his ways, centering our lives on Christ's example, giving to those who call upon us, teaching them and showing them love as Christ has shown love to us. To be strengthened in the faith as we were taught, not just in Sunday school, but in our everyday lives. Utilizing Christ's teachings by spreading his love to other people. And we are called to be overflowing with thankfulness, to not just enjoy the blessings that we're given, but to be thankful by giving praise to God and to spread it around so that other people can know what blessings they have in this world. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. We're called not to get lost in the human growth for material possessions, or to earn fortunes and conquering lands to create vast empires, whether political or financial. Instead, we are called to be loving and living beings in Christ. Christ healed and blessed everyone that came to him in faith. He saw each person's faith in them and bestowed blessings upon them. And we are called to do the same. And so let us do the same to one another and to his creation, to give and take responsibly, so that future generations, like where we're sitting and standing today, can do the same thing 100 years from now, to enjoy God's creation in the beautiful sunshine outdoors, and to hear his word for all time. Amen. And just as God's creation has given us so many blessings to take for ourselves, so too does God give us his gifts to bless others. God calls upon us to be generous givers, so that the things we do spread as wide as they can to sustain the ministry that we are a part of. The morning offerings will now be received. Loving God, accept the gifts we offer you today and every day, our time, our talents, and our treasure. Put them to good use wherever they are needed, whatever the needs. We offer our gifts and our prayers in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us come together once more in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, through your prophets, apostles, and saints in every generation, you have called on your people to turn from petty distractions and compelling loyalties to follow you. In Jesus Christ our Lord, you proclaimed your good news, reminding us that true life and peace are found in you. Guide your church to proclaim the good news of Christ's love and mercy, not in ways that merely please people or don't ruffle feathers, but in ways that transform places where people experience poverty and scorn, places where the reconciling love of Christ is deeply needed. Let your light shine, O God, in the world's darkest corners, exposing violence, exploitation, bigotry, and anything else that dehumanizes and degrades your creation. Let your light offer hope, justice, and life. O Lord our God, we pray that the children, youth, and the leaders attending church camps and vacation Bible schools across Canada and around the world enjoy the joy and excitement of a life-changing experience. We pray for seminary students who serve in rural and remote congregations this summer, and we pray that they will learn dynamic ways to serve God and the church faithfully. We pray for the groups of this church and others. Bestow upon them your blessing of peace and love. Guide their decisions in your way and your way alone. We pray for our leaders, Mayor Clement, Premier Ford, Prime Minister Trudeau, Governor General Payette, and Her Majesty the Queen, as they bear the responsibilities of maintaining the lands that you have bestowed upon them. May you show them your wisdom and love as they lead us and inspire us to be faithful and loving people wherever we go. Bless them as they make the heavy decisions, and we pray that you bestow upon us your peace that surpasses all understanding in times of both heavy burden and in joyous celebration. O Lord our God, trusting in your promise of hope and new life, we offer our prayers, asking that your presence be revealed in this world and in our lives. We bring to you our prayers for those who are ill or discouraged, for those trying to make ends meet or feeling frightened about the future. We pray for our brothers and sisters serving with partners overseas. Let them be an encouragement to those with whom they live and work, together giving witness to your great love. In these moments of silence, we pray for all those whose situations we carry on our hearts and our minds today. O Lord our God, bless this community of faith. Help us to not confuse your purposes with our own desires and opinions. Guide us to make intentional choices which honor your ways, so that we may serve you faithfully throughout our days. This we pray in your most precious name. Amen. Please join me in our closing hymn, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. God calls upon us to go out into the world to seek God in all things, looking to your brothers and sisters for God's presence. Serve God with a joyous heart, showing the world God's ways of justice and peace. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.